Welcome to Embers of the Bonfire. I'm your host, Harb al-Najjar. And today's guest is someone who I'm a big fan of their podcast, The Gola Project, and someone who also runs poetry nights through The Gola Project. Someone who I admire their ability to hold space and create space for others to shine. Maria Ocean, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Harb. It means a lot, honestly, to hear that. Like, usually I feel like nobody listened to my podcast. So hearing someone that actually listened and felt something means so much to me, Yani. So I really appreciate that. Thank you for having me, Yani.
Thank you so much for being here. I'm really, truly honored. Today's topic is about holding space. What does that mean to you?
Holding space. It's a huge topic, honestly, Yani. It's something you need to learn. It's not something that's given if you don't have that in the family, let's say, or the place where you grew up with. So to me, giving space to yourself, to think freely, to feel freely, and without judgment, without holding standard or holding something that you've learned from the society, from people from outside, basically. So holding space means a lot to me as a person, as well as holding space for others, because that's not something I have grown up with or learned about from a young age. So as an adult, I had to learn it. It's a skill that I had to learn. And it's a huge topic, honestly, just to make people feel heard, feel they belong on a personal level and also outside. So inwards and outwards. That's what comes to mind when I think of holding space.
How did you learn? What was that point where you learned that?
Good question. It's, you know, you go through things in life, traumatic experiences, losses. It teaches you or it shows you. I mean, life has its ways, Yani, your life path, God's will, basically, for you to learn certain lessons at specific periods of your life. So I learned that the hard way, like a lot of people. It's a much needed skill to have your sanity, your mental health in check, maintaining connection with yourself, with God, with anything you believe in, basically. So how did I learn? I learned through traumatic experiences. That's like usually how, or I think what triggered me or propelled me towards learning or digging deeper on how can I fix things within myself, I guess. That's how it became to be, you know?
Yeah.
If I may ask as well, because this is a conversation, right? So I want to learn also about you. What made you think about the topic?
Holding space?
Yes.
I would say it's definitely something I learned after getting married to my wife. It was the ability to get to know her more and understand her more and really from that appreciate her more. As you said, it's like it's something you have to learn and is a skill. But what I've noticed, it's so important. Even before that, I had to also learn it for myself first, to feel it first within myself so I could give it out and I'd be able to hold space for my wife. So it had to start with me first and holding space for myself, as you said, your own feelings, letting it be free, no judgment, and just being that vessel of openness and curiosity as well. To be honest, it's been a life changer. Because it allows you to truly not only experience yourself and completely accept yourself and see who you truly are in a sense, but also it allows that for you to experience others that way and really appreciate others and see others' beauty and light and without judgment, without forced perceptions, just seeing them for who they truly are. Yeah, I'm super grateful to be able to experience holding space, whatever the situation may be, whatever the situation the person's going through or what I'm going through, but just completely being open and curious. So in terms of being able to learn how to hold space, how do you do it mechanistically for yourself?
So when it comes to the tools, how do I do it with myself?
Yeah.
It's because I also love writing, I guess, from my project, you can tell there is focus on writing and poetry in specific. To be able to express or to write is to hold space and reflect within, because it's a very intimate process that you need to give it time as well. It's not going to happen. It's a muscle that you need to practice. There's a creative practice called the morning pages. So the morning pages usually, or the common practice is that you, once you wake up, you write 3 pages, just stream of consciousness, basically. Just let it out of your mind as soon as you wake up. And for me, I adjusted that towards just writing. It's not at any point in the day because I go to my job in the morning, so I don't have that time. For me, I started that way. The morning pages, the writing skill, or making sure that I have that time carved every single day without fail and being consistent at it to write. Even if I felt like my mind is blocked, I just need to release everything that's going through my mind. That was a huge tool for me, honestly, to hold space for myself, to reflect. Reflection is a huge part of, you know, how to understand yourself. So for me, writing is a tool for self-expression as well as self-reflection and to sit with my own thoughts and feelings. So even when I think of holding space for myself, it's usually that I think of, I need to sit down without distractions. I need to write, express, say everything, any mean thing, any petty thing I need, you know, beautiful thing that I have seen, have witnessed through the day. Just let it out, write it down without judgment, as we said earlier. So writing is a huge tool for me. I know so many people have different ways of how they can hold space for themselves. Art is a huge part. For me, it's a huge part of self-expression. So expressing yourself through music, through different forms of art. I don't want to be specific, but for myself, morning pages and journaling in general was a huge tool to hold space for me before I go out and just preach. But it's something that worked for me. Through that, through writing, you feel everything that you need to feel, you express, you let it out. And that's one of the tools that really come to mind when I feel like, how do I want to hold space for myself? It's solitude, writing, and consistency.
You said you need to do it and that it's useful. Why is there a feeling of need to start your day like that?
The need part is just discipline muscle, I think, because you need to think of like your inner child and how the personality of your inner child. For me, it's messy. My messy inner child doesn't want any discipline. So,
Aren't we all?
Yeah, exactly. So there's that, but it, with kindness, of course. So because I love writing, it's just bringing that into a consistent practice. Yani. Because it's easy for us to find ways of rebelling. Like, I don't want to do this. I don't have time. I need to do it because I saw the benefits. I saw the results of when I'm actually very consistent in writing. Mentally, I'm my best. Even it influences my sleep, my health physically, you know. It's all connected in general. Yani, my belief is physically, mentally, spiritually, there is we are complex human beings. So you need to take care of all pillars of your life for you to be balanced. So the need, going back to that point, the need is because I want to live my life in a certain way in order to live freely, live in a balanced way, making sure that I have not things in control, but at least give myself, I think, the space I never had when I was younger, because that's something that I learned as a skill that wasn't taught in schools. You don't learn about it. When you try it or practice it, you know that, okay, this works. This is benefiting me in different ways. So that's why the need comes to play. And I need this in order to live my life the way I want to live it.
Obviously, it sounds like there's a lot of benefits in holding space for yourself and creating that morning routine to allow yourself to fully release those thoughts and feelings and not hold it in. In a sense.
How about you, though? Like, how do you hold space for you?
For myself? I would say for me, it's every morning I meditate in the morning for 1 hour. And I just close my eyes and I sit with myself. Most of the time I do a guided meditation, which is, yeah, it allows you to look within. From there, all the feelings come up, all the thoughts. It's obviously accepting all of them and letting them go. But more importantly, it's creating space for the new. If I can put it in like a metaphor, it's like if I was a still pond, I by meditating in the morning, it's, I allow myself to become like a waterfall and make the energy within me move. Yeah, I'm in a more neutral space. I'm more excited for my day. I'm more in flow. And that's because I've accessed that awareness of my inner self. And from there, I can be more aware of my inner thoughts, my inner feelings, and that inner alchemy, you know, inner alchemist that we all have within us. That's how I feel like it's truly important for me, because from there I can live my day with a more aware version of myself and not necessarily project, you know, I'm not holding on to negativity from yesterday as much, or a negative feeling or negative thought from yesterday, because I've allowed myself to feel it all, take responsibility for it and release it, hopefully. And from there, it's just a more beautiful experience throughout my day with the people I interact with myself, first of all and foremost, and then with the people I interact with and my environment.
I love that. Like you said, that it's a form of release, right?
Yeah.
Because that's it's similar to writing. Like, it's a form of release. You're releasing everything that's been brewing in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Where you just, it's fascinating, honestly, like the human mind and us as a spirit, we capture, or we need to do that self-maintenance, similar to like drinking, eating, you know, mm-hmm. keeping that fuel in. The mind and soul need that as well.
Yeah, because we're all energy. So we need some form of energy release at some level, mm-hmm. or energy movement. So what about in terms of, you know, we've talked about our holding space for ourselves and creating morning routines or some sort of understanding that it is important to hold space for ourselves. And I feel like once that's done, that allows us to hold space for others. Mm. So how do you hold space for others?
It depends, because I see it as two levels. There are people who are within their close circle, or like people who are close to you as family, as friends. So they're like more, you have more exposure or like more interactions with. So that's different than like strangers at work, for example. Because at the end of the day, like I think of myself, I believe I'm an introvert. So
same.
I have, yes. Oh, you understand.
Yeah, same.
So I have a limited amount of energy. Like I need to manage my energy for the day, especially that I have a day job. So my day needs to be, that's why I was telling you, my weekend is my best energy, because I can hold space for myself and others as mm-hmm. well the best way, other than the weekdays. Because it's not something you control if you have a day job, and everyone, you know, who listens can relate maybe. You don't choose the people you work with, mm. or you don't choose the community, let's say, or the circle of people that you go every day and spend time with. Maybe you're lucky to choose that. Some people, or a lot of people, don't. Holding space for others, for me, it should be very, you need to be very careful in doing that, or who you allow people. At least let me talk about myself. I don't want to preach. For me, I don't want to allow people who are not like-minded or not aligned with my energy and values to take energy or like more space than the people I care about. So I'll try to wrap this idea, because I feel like I'm going to places. The way I hold space for others is from a humanity point of view, and you know, from being professional at work or different people, strangers on the street or anyone who you deal with. I try my best that to not judge people, because everyone has their own journey or what, like, things that they go through their personal lives and days. I try my best to not judge based on their actions. For me, to hold space for others, of course, I will be more generous with my energy and time and how I hold space with people who are close to me. I would love in an ideal world to do that with everyone. I would love to do that, because I feel that's so unrealistic to say. I would touch about the community aspect later, but
yeah.
In reality, that depleted me so much when I tried to do it. Yani. It's okay. Yani, we're humans, where we have limitations when it comes to extending yourself to others. But what it means to hold space for others, from my perspective, is to allow them to express who they are without judgment, without shame, allowing others or giving them the space to be who they are without the labels. I feel like that's how I would love to be perceived, because I think if you listen to my very first video on my project when I launched it, I mentioned that I hate labels. I hate labels. I don't like people when they assume there is the functional part of it. Like you want to assign certain things. That's how the human mind works. You want to assign a label to different person. It's easy for us. Oh, this person looks like this. So I assume mm-hmm. they are this way.
Mm-hmm.
We all have biases, like whether we are conscious of them or not. But at least I try to work on that, not to release my judgment. It's easier said than done, of course. But through self-reflection, through self-accountability, basically, I think you can do better. Yani, even if like sometimes I'm not going to be, you know, idealistic. I'm not going to be that person, but I'll do my best to hold space for others because I know what it's like to be on the other side as well. It's through conversation, through making the other person feel safe to be who they are. As I said, shame, we have more than enough of that in the world. Like, let's create a space that where there's not much of that is happening.
200%.
Yeah. So that's how I think of how to hold space for others. I think of how I want to be treated, like treat the world or treat others the way you like to be treated. I think that's a principle that I follow, at least.
Yeah. That's powerful, because all of those thoughts that you said about being, not having a space of no shame, having no labels, having no judgments, having safety and holding space for that other person means you're feeling that and you're allowing that for the other person to feel that. Going back to, you really have to hold that within you first to allow that for others to shine and give them that. Thank you for putting in the work in terms of not wanting to give others labels. Other people give them labels and not want to judge them, because that's a way of being that's so much more loving and so much more compassionate and so much more unconditional. And if we're all like that, and we give that space to others, then I know I'm sounding very idealistic right now, but it's such a more peaceful and loving way to live. So thank you for putting in the work to get there, because that's what we grow up learning, is the labels. We learn the shame, we learn the judgment, and it's peeling off all these layers that we've learned and going back to this open space and the safe space to truly let not only yourself shine, but others around you. So thank you. Really, thank you. Yeah.
I don't know if I have resistance to say you're welcome, because we are a work in progress.
We're all not.
Yeah.
No one's perfect.
So no one's perfect. Yeah. Yani, like when you were speaking about the learning, unlearning, that's a huge part of growth, you know?
Yeah.
It's huge and it's paradox. So hard. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's the hardest part, yani, just to unlearn things that you have grown up for years.
Mm-hmm.
It's cemented in your brain. Like, so something to unlearn is a huge step towards, yani, to learn about holding space itself as a topic, yani. When you were speaking, I use this example with my family as well, whenever we have arguments, because I come from a religious background. I always use the example before Paulo Coelho's Alchemist. I don't know if you read that book.
Love that book.
Yes.
Love that book.
That was a beautiful story, yani. Just the protagonist seeking the truth, basically, to find meaning and find answers. Before that, there is a lot of stories in Islam as well has that. Salman al-Farsi, Persian scholar, he's known to be the seeker of the truth. And I always use him as an example with my family, because I can't use the Alchemist, you know? Because it's the same kind of journey. Can you imagine, like back in the day, they didn't have this kind of connectedness, no access, no online. You can't see other points of view other than the bubble you live in. So this guy, he was not convinced with his upbringing, with the surrounding society. It wasn't aligned with his heart and mind, basically. So he wasn't convinced that this is the ultimate truth. I want to find out for myself, you know? And that's what he's famous for, I think. I always use that as an example of them. Like, we need to find out the truth for myself. It's not the thoughts of others and how we were raised. It's what's aligned. There is the Arabic word, fitra. Is it nurture in English? I'm not sure. But there's like internal compass.
Like instinct. I thought instinct.
Maybe,
but okay.
Yeah. I'm not sure the literal translation, because Arabic Shwaya is complex. That's the thing. Like, he felt that there is something wrong despite all the learnings around him.
Mm.
And I feel that so inspiring as a character, character trait, basically, to be your own, you know, seeker of truth. Find out what is aligned within your internal compass and what's aligned with your heart and mind. And that's where I feel is the, as a driver for holding space for yourself and then others as well, is how I interpret it. Also, like critical thinking, you need to have that. It's not just whatever you hear that, okay, I agree and I'm going to do it. It's more of like tailoring what you absorbing from different schools of thoughts and what works for you. You actually find that in so many cultures, like to hold space, it's not just about the individuality or the individual self, because it affects the community and the society at large. If you fix that, you fix things around it. I don't know where I'm going with that thought.
I feel like you were, you know, one point is curiosity, going back to your point, which I feel like he had and you have, which is that sense of curiosity of being curious about the truth, not necessarily hearing, you know, and taking the status quo word for word, but just, you know, seeing what is the truth and being curious about it. And that can be going back to like holding space. You know, when you hold space for yourself, it's being curious about what comes up, whatever feelings come up, whatever thoughts come up, whatever beliefs come up, and curious on why do I think that way? Why do I feel that way? And is it empowering me? Is it disempowering me? Is it making me feel good? Is it making me feel heavy? Whatever it may be. And also, more importantly, or not more importantly, but holding space for others is also like being able to be curious of that person and what comes out in that moment. And a sense of, because you're curious, you don't know what it is, there's a sense, there's a less sense of judgment towards whatever comes up.
There's something that came up in my mind. I watched a TED Talk, I think, a while. I don't remember who was the speaker, but there is a nice concept that I found interesting because it's aligned with what we're saying, how you sit with your own thoughts. So imagine you have a boardroom and you're the chairperson of that boardroom. And because we all have so many thoughts, so many different contradicting thoughts sometimes, you can imagine you have different selves on that table. The shadow self, the different, you know, different parts of you, basically. You allow all of them to speak on the same subject, on the same thought that you're having. But at the end of the day, you are the chairperson. You are your higher self, basically, I guess, who will control the narrative or basically chooses how you react or how you go out to the world with that. And I like that because it does allow you to think without shame. Like, I'm not going to shame because I'm thinking such a bad thought. Why am I thinking that way, you know? But that's human. You go through that motion. And it's the same principle, I feel, with others. You hear them out fully without judgment as well. It does help in making people more honest. So less masks, the better, right? I mean, that's something I wish I, at least in my circles, to not have that. We already have like so many masks that we wear, I guess, forcefully by society. And then you reach a point, I guess, and you throughout your life where you're like, okay, I'm not interested in doing this anymore. So it starts with holding space with yourself to know who you really are. Who are you when no one is looking? When you're sitting by yourself, who are you? And that's a question I repeatedly ask myself. What are my values? Has it changed? The world keeps changing, I think.
That's deep.
It's the world keeps changing. It's affecting the way we see the world. A lot of people have been experiencing a fracture in their worldview in the last few months or so. And I relate because I have experienced that during COVID. That's one of the biggest milestones. I don't want to say it's a milestone. It's a turning point in my life. It's actually when almost the Gola Project was born. So there are world shifts, energies around the world that affect us. Not necessarily in the bad way, but it's waking up a lot of people. To be truthful to yourself. And then outside, what are your values inside, internally? How do you want to lead your life? And then, I don't know if I'm making sense, but...
You are, yeah.
Yeah, it's like affecting, it starts within you.
Yeah.
How do you want to live, you lead your life, how do you want to live? And then it goes outwards.
Yeah, it bleeds outwards, yeah. Inner and then outer. Yeah. There's a popular saying by the Dalai Lama. He says, inner discernment and then outer discernment, which is if you disarm your inner self, the outer will disarm itself. which is powerful. And going on to the community aspect, I feel like, mashallah, you host a podcast, which is Holding Space, but you also have poetry nights, which is also holding space in a community space, you know, in a community aspect. Why do you do that?
I think it started because I was craving for those spaces. Then I was wondering, why am I waiting for the world to do that for me? Yep, I have the skills because, I've done events in the past because of my job. So there are elements that I know I'm capable of doing. But it's starting something from scratch that is the scary part, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But also the other element, I felt like there are things that were revealing itself, unraveling, I guess. Poetry was a huge outlet for me. And then seeing that there's not, it feels like it's a scattered kind of, want to be careful with what I say. It's a little bit scattered where there's no one space that is holding that for poetry, or at least spoken word, because there is a lot of people who have opinions about this. And I'm grateful that there are spaces also who host open mics, but I didn't feel like I was waiting, like, when is this happening? And it's not consistent. And I realize it's also, I'm not consistent with it as well. It feels like whenever I feel I'm called to do it, I would host it. At the beginning, it started with, I wanted to create a space that is comparison-free space, no judgment. It's not about showing off. It is in front of a mic. That's usually the concept of it. But it's about self-expression without feeling judgment. And I wanted that space to happen. I wanted to be in that space and to create it for others. Because I know the community is out there. It's just, I started doing that and I was surprised, Yanni. I was like, okay, let me try out the first one. And I remember the first event, things were falling into place. It was really beautiful. Like, it was my favorite event, honestly, the first one out of the total I've done. There are a few, actually. It sounds like I have done so many. It's really a few, four or five, I don't remember. But the first one, I remember someone from the people who have shared their poetry, they told me that it felt very safe. It felt very safe. And I remember there like around 14 maybe poets who went on the mic. Seven of them at the beginning said they're not sure. And some of them, they didn't even vote, Yanni. But they came on, it's not a podium, it was just a mic, Yanni, on the same level. And that made me so happy, Yanni. It felt like, okay, I think I need to do more of this. Also because I met so many people through that. So basically, I think you listened to mental health, poetry and mental health,
mm-hmm.
The episode with Rasil. Rasil mm-hmm. attended the first event. We were strangers. We didn't know each other. So I met several people and I've done the podcast with some of them as well. So if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have met all these amazing people, Yanni. And meeting the community who are like-minded, different age groups, different, ethnicities, different backgrounds. It felt necessary. It felt important, like we need to have these spaces. I was researching the topic of belonging, what it means, how can I fix it? Because I don't feel I belong anywhere. That was the thought that I started with. I reached the conclusion that if I don't belong, let me create a space that people feel they belong to. So that's another angle towards why I wanted to start the poetry nights. It's multiple reasons. I don't think there's a singular reason that stands out, but it's multiple reasons. And going back to this research, because it also helped me accept you can belong in multiple spaces. Going back to the concept of holding multitudes, we are complex beings, we have multiple interests, multiple, not personalities, but multiple desires and know how to live life. That research, I remember this point, it was a research paper that says the strongest indication of someone, how they feel they belong, is having multiple interests or clubs or different communities that they belong in. And it touches different aspects of their lives within the community. Because there's no one space that will contain all of you, like we have different desires, different interests. So to have all of these, a mix or a cocktail of different sources of communities will allow you to feel that sense of belonging. It will nurture that. So that was a different element that made me feel like, okay, I want to do this.
You're healing a lot of other people's inner child as well with that. Because that's what we yearn for. Inner child yearns for belonging.
Yes.
Just the other day, something happened and I was contemplating the idea of belonging because I'm half Filipino, half Lafari. So there's obviously such a mix of culture. And as you said, like a cocktail of different identities, different ways of being. I was contemplating that idea and reflecting on who am I? There's a sense of yearning to belong and yearning to be identified as a certain identity. Once I realized, you know, my inner child just wanted to hear, you don't have to conform. You don't have to feel like you fit in. It's okay the way you are. It's okay to be different. It's okay to not fit in. It's okay to just be your different self. And from there was a sense of true acceptance of who I am and a sense of I belong to the universe, you know, or the higher self. There's a removal of labels and identities of what I should and shouldn't be. And there's a true sense of acceptance of that inner child. And from there, I truly felt, okay, wow, we all yearn to belong. And it's so powerful because that's what, you know, that's what we're taught as kids. You have to conform, you have to belong, you have to be a certain way. But once you really take a step back and see that that belonging comes from within first, and that no matter what, you're truly accepted. And the way you are, no matter how different, no matter how mixed or whatever it may be, that true acceptance allows you to really be free in that freedom and in seeing your true identity, which is everything really. If you want to go that route of you are the universe and you have a greater identity than any label can put on, you know, that can be put onto you. From there, that acceptance can be put onto anyone. And no matter how mixed or whatever label it's, everything is beautiful. Everyone is beautiful. Everyone is diverse in their own way. That's such a beautiful way to see everyone's beauty and everyone's just light in a sense and how they shine in so many diverse and different ways.
I completely agree with that. Do you know, like, there's a verse by Maya Angelou on belonging? I don't want to butcher it. Let me get it. I don't remember the verse, but let me get the, because it does talk on, it was part of my research, honestly, like looking at poems about that.
I'm listening to her audiobook, actually.
You are?
The Cage Bird Sings, yeah, right now.
Oh
yeah.
My God, I have the book. But
Have you listened to it yet?
No. I want to.
She narrates the audiobook. If you're ever into the audiobook, you should check it out.
She has such a unique way of narration.
Yeah, yeah. I've literally taken back in time, by the way.
Yeah?
Listening to her, yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, I have to check it out. I love audio content, Yanni.
Same.
So belonging, I don't know why it's not showing up, but the whole idea was you don't belong anywhere. You belong everywhere, basically. Is what she says.
That's deep. I love that.
Because we all yearn for that. It's a primal need in all of us. You are only free when you realize you belong no place. You belong every place. No place at all. The price is high. The reward is great. So.
Beautiful.
That made me feel like it's a lot of us do struggle with that. And I don't know. I've never felt. I felt it's such a universal feeling that we should connect on more than we feel like, oh, we don't belong. Mm-hmm. Actually, we don't feel we belong. All of us don't feel this, you know, we all feel that to a certain degree. I think I heard one podcast, Third Culture Kids, I think, that talk about the same because it's connected with identity, same thing that you have mentioned. And I relate to that. We do have some commonalities when it comes to belonging because it's such a universal feeling that it needs to be talked about more. So no, people don't feel alone, you know? So, yeah.
And as you said, like you felt like you didn't belong. Thus, you wanted to create a space that belongs at a community that feels like they're safe, without judgment, without shame. And you've created that space. You've helped heal other people and let them be in that free space. And then imagine that's like a domino effect because those people that your first event, they're affecting the people that their circles are in and so on and so forth.
I never thought of it that way, to be honest, because for me, I feel I haven't done enough of them, you know? Mm. It's not consistent that my it's the time again, it's commitments and, you know, investing in doing that. So I feel guilty because I'm not consistent at it. I've done a few events, so over the course of 2 years. So my initial desire was to do this consistently, so there is an actual community I can meet and do that. But I also don't feel there's a sense of competition in it because I know that others hold these spaces as well. It's just creating a new space where I feel I've attended other spaces as well. So I felt there's something lacking that I want to do in my space. Just because I feel like I don't want this to be glorified with what I've done. I don't know. I feel uncomfortable taking that. Because it's just, you know, a few events. I hope that I can do more of. I can hold more.
Don't take away from yourself. Because the effect is still there. Even if you don't do it consistently, that memory of that one person who did it, for example, probably still lives within them. And then they're still going back to that memory every now and then and using that. Oh, I was safe then. And then when they're in a random conversation, then they start to hold space and allow people to be free. So your effect is still happening. Definitely is still happening. So it's still happening.
I haven't thought about that, to be honest, but thank you, Yanni, for just highlighting that. It means so much. I feel honored if that's the case for anyone, even if it's one person that felt that.
Yeah.
And it, you know, affected them towards doing something.
I mean, for me, sorry to cut you off, but for me, like listening to your podcast was like, whoa, this is in Oman. Okay. I'm so inspired. Because I never, you know, the podcasts that I have listened that are Oman, they aren't, you know, about mental health. They aren't about vulnerability. They aren't about free speech and being your true self. And that's a lot of topics you cover with a sense of self-reflection and introspection and being your true self and healing yourself, healing your inner child. So hearing all of that, it's like so inspired. It's not to like gas you up or over whatever. It's the truth. And honestly, thank you for giving that space in your podcast. I haven't been to your poetry nights yet, but for your podcasts and giving that space of showing that you can be vulnerable, showing that you can heal yourself, you can be free in yourself, you can be true to yourself. Honestly, just be real. Be real with yourself. And thank you for that, honestly.
Thank you, honestly. Yeah. I feel like we need more spaces for people to speak. Because I thought like, okay, I know this is a niche kind of topic, niche kind of thing that I'm doing with the Gola Project. But it will reach the right community or the right people. At least because it's my experience. I know that I'm lacking that. I want that space. You know that Arabic saying that says, فَقَدْ الشَّيْءِ لَا يُعْطِي. Someone who lacks it can't give. I don't believe in that. So if you lack it, it's love, yani.
Yeah.
If it's an energy. If you exert it or like release it to the world, I think it will amplify and come back.
200%. Take responsibility and take ownership. Because you can. As you said, you didn't feel it, but you created it. Mm-hmm. And now others are feeling it and empowered by it.
Yeah. So,
yeah. One soul at a time.
Yes. I like that. I like that. One soul at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah. One step at a time.
Yeah. Anyways, I think it's time to wrap up.
Yes.
I have three final questions for you.
Ooh, I'm nervous. What are they?
What are you most grateful for right now?
Alhamdulillah for relationships. The people that I have attracted in my life. I think if I haven't lived my truest self or like expressed that outwardly, that wouldn't have happened. Mm-hmm. So I'm grateful for my current relationships and current people in my life. And my health, of course, and the family and the basic necessities of life. Yeah, and I don't take that for granted. So alhamdulillah, Yari.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
And the second question is, what is your current superpower?
Oh, superpower. Current superpower.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give me an example?
So the past two was resilience and... Resilience was resilience and being able to uplift and be a positive impact on others. Those are the last two.
Okay. I think I make things happen. I'm a go-getter, yani. So I don't wait for the sky to, what is the saying? It escaped me. Okay, I'm not going to be philosophical about it. But yani, I like to make things happen. I think I, even when things are hard, I make things happen for myself. And I hope for others as well.
Love that. And your final question is, what is one piece of advice or one ember of wisdom that the audience can take regarding holding space?
Listen to Harib's podcast.
Love that.
Yeah. I think it's researching or like knowing what does that mean for you. You need to, yeah, and you listen to many podcasts that talk about it, read books, explore other schools of thoughts, and find out what works or what aligns with you. So seek your own truth, basically.
Love that. And where can people reach you?
They can reach me on my Instagram, I guess. It's public. I don't use Twitter as much. So Maria Ocean is the main one. Or my project. My project is still active, guys. It's just like I haven't done much except I think the last podcast episode was 4 months ago. But inshallah, it's not the last. But they can find me on the Gale project as well.
Thank you so much for being here. It was honestly such an honor and a blessing. I appreciate your time, your energy, and all that you do.
Thank you so much for reaching out and yani, not just for gassing me up, yani, all the compliments.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. It means so much. And I hope if there is anything, as you said, take one thought that makes you think from either my project or anywhere, anything that you learn in life, I guess. So thank you so much for being so generous. And
my pleasure.
Yani, I'm so happy to hear also another podcast in Oman. Yani, I really am. Yani, I love having these conversations. It gives me butterfly saraha, yani. I hope to see more of that, yani.
Inshallah.
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 Thank you.
Thank you everyone for listening and tuning in. May this episode enhance your daily quality of life, empower you, enlighten you. Have a wonderful, magical day. Stay blessed.